I think someone else has told me.
Yeah.
Okay, go on then. Do you look? You just deliver it.
Brilliant. Okay, go on. I won't disturb you. I'm not doing the intro.
I can't do the intro.
No, there's no intro.
Is that the intro?
The intro is there is no intro. There's no intro today. This is the Business Club B2B Series 3. Isn't an introduction.
Sounds like one.
Mikey B, aka Michael Buzzard, aka Sam St. Andrews. Welcome.
Cheers, mate. How are you both doing?
Hello, mate.
All right.
All right.
Good. I'm all good.
Relax.
Yeah, I'm good.
We're amongst friends.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Grimshaw friends.
Yeah, I mean, don't go back to Grimshaw, mate. Yeah, there'll be some stories to tell there if we go back and talk about Grimshaw.
Did you think Sam yet?
We was actually in the same year group, weren't we? Yeah. Kirby Lewis Moore and White.
We go way back, haven't we, mate?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Too long.
Too long. No, too many stories. Grab one, though.
So, obviously, yeah, we all know each other. We are St. Andrews. You are the Saints of Matchday. Where did it begin? Where did you first want to be a DJ? How did it begin for you?
Master DJ.
Yeah, it's not a very glamorous story. My dad was a DJ, as you probably know that anyway. And I got into it just by being his roadie, like slave, like child labour, basically. It was back in the day when I was probably 13, 14, just going to gigs, learning the trade. He let me play like some music and some gigs and stuff. So this is even more unglamorous and uncool. But then my grandparents used to have a New Year's Eve party in Shardend, yeah, for the family. And then they asked me to, when I was...
Crown.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the Crown, no. But they asked me to DJ that New Year's Eve party for the family. And I just coupled together. My dad gave me some of his hand-me-downs, some old equipment. And I just, just DJed. I mean, I remember playing... I had a box of CDs, and it was probably 10 albums, like now CDs. And I kind of ran out of good songs to play. I remember playing Cotton Eye Joe on repeat. Which is
when you start taking a look.
Yeah. No, this isn't gonna be a career, but literally, and the other family loved it, and I did that for years, but that's genuinely the true story of it.
Like Cotton Eye Joe on repeat for years.
Yeah, that's where I am, why I'm here now. But yeah, I played Cotton Eye Joe, and then every year then I did that for the family, and that's genuinely how it started. It was just a family get together. Do you want a DJ? And I was really quite shy and reserved. I wasn't really into being a DJ. That wasn't what I thought my career was going to be and my future. I just thought, go on and I'll do it. And that's where we are now. So that went, and then it snowballed then from there. I used to just do hand-me-down, like, jobs that my dad couldn't do or whatever. And he said, my son's a DJ. And then passed them on to me. And then just build up get people on board then to say, he is good. Like, and then just word of mouth just got round. And then I got busier and busier. But I always had a day job. It was always a part-time thing. It was never a full-time thing. It was just do it at weekends, do it as a hobby. And I enjoyed doing it. And it was never, ever going to be a career. That's literally how it started.
What did you think was the career?
I didn't know, because going to Grimshaw back in the day and having a careers meeting with whoever it was, or a career, like a little get together in the library to say...
You wasn't the scuba diver that you guys...
No, but no one ever said in a careers meeting that you could be a DJ as a career back then. Maybe they won't say now, but it was always like, this and this. So... Like do your A-levels. I didn't even do my A-levels. I didn't do very well in my GCSE, so I stayed on a little bit longer at school, but then got I did a GMVQ in leisure and tourism.
Concrete.
Yeah. Where's that taking me?
You were just about there.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be going to be a rep in Ibiza. I don't know what I was going to do. So I just did it. I think I remember the guy from one of my best mates from school, you both know, Sean Vaness. So me and Sean, me and Vino, call him Sean, me and Vino both did this GMVQ in leisure and tourism, and both passed it with flying colours with Mr. Davis, but we had no idea why we did it. It was just to get the grades to move on to A-levels. But then when I got to A-level point, I was like, this isn't for me. And then the job, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I just went into, a bit like a lot of people, just went into jobs that I hated, like retail. I worked in insurance, I worked in mortgages, 9 to 5, going into an office, just sitting there. And I was literally like more interested in like going out DJing, and that was my thing, I think. And then I was doing late nights, and then coming in, going to work at 9 a.m. and being in a disciplinary for being late, or
working that every week.
Yeah, and like, oh yeah, you're not really concentrating on the job that you're paid to do, because my heart wasn't in it. I wasn't interested in doing that. And I look back at that now and think, yeah, maybe like I should have done it sooner. Mm. So, and then the to move on to the DJing thing, I was doing insurance for a long, long time. And then I was DJing in a few clubs in Birmingham. So I DJed at a club called DV8 back in the day. And that club was open about, if anyone knows that club that's like watches this, or that club used to be Thursday night, £8 in, all you can drink. And Saturday.
That's a limit, yes, regardless, yeah.
Saturday night, £12, all you can drink. So that club was like mad. And I actually met my wife who in that club. And then when we got together, she said to me, you could quit your day job and just DJ. And I didn't believe that I could do that. I genuinely didn't believe. I was like, no, I always need stability. I need, like, because being a self-employed DJ, it's just, how do you know you're going to be guaranteed?
Taking a plunge.
Yeah, taking the plunge. So moving on, like, from the clubs and stuff, I started to get really busy. And then she said, and it was her really that said, you be a DJ, like, try it. And if it doesn't work, then at least you can say you tried. And here I am now, today, like, what's that, 20 years ago, and I'm still here now.
You had residency at Harvey Nicks, didn't you, for a while as well?
Yeah, so I got into, again, it goes back to the school thing again, because JP, John Paul McGurk, I'm name dropping on here, JP worked at Harvey Nichols, just said, we need a DJ in store, and then I started to DJ in Harvey Nichols, but then that got me to open loads of different avenues, because I got to meet loads of different people
who could afford to shop in Harvey Nichols.
yeah, there's that as well. But and Jay and if anyone knows JP as well, that Jay knew a lot of people, and JP knew how to, like,
Hendry and that, wasn't it?
Yeah, like he was good friends with Lee Hendry and loads of the Villa lads and the Chelsea lads and all those people, all the different players from all around the country. So he got me in with a lot of people to say, oh, I've got a DJ that I know, use him. And then that's where, like, so I owe, well, JP always says I owe him, like, my career, basically. And I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, I probably do, to be honest. Possibly, yeah. Possibly, mate, yeah.
You can't turn up and just do crap, can you? You've got to be, the thing I find with you is that there's a lot of people that we have on here, you're very people person, so you've got to be people person with the DJing. I've met some DJs on the wedding scene and stuff like that. Not that people are orientated, but you've got to be on a level with people as well.
Yeah, and I say this all the time, and I'm repeating actually what you've just said to me, but it's all about you can be the best DJ in the world, but if you're not a nice person, then being a nice person goes a long way with people. People buy into people. So I'm a big believer, if you're nice to someone, and don't get me wrong, you got to do a good job as well. You can't, like you said, you can't be rubbish. But if you are nice to them and you're a nice person and you're actually good at your job as well, then put the two together and you're onto a winner. And yeah, like it's a no brainer. That's how I just try to come across. Just be approachable to people. Don't be one of them DJs that like, say, oh, no, I want this, I want that, and I only play this genre of music. Be versatile and just be open to me, because always think that we're all in it to work together. Like when you go to an event, wherever it is, whether or not it's a massive stadium or a really small like corporate event or a wedding or whatever you're doing, then the photographer, the sound guy, the lighting guy, the DJ, the band, we're all in it together just to give the client, whoever's paying us, a good time. Mm. And we all want to get out and get home.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So let's just work together. We've been nice to each other.
Been on one or two, haven't we, where it's been a bit like, we won this, I won that, I won this.
You probably remember a few.
Without naming them.
Yeah.
It's not best to talk about that. But we've been on a few. What are your worst and best experiences of corporates and do's and weddings and stuff? Is there any particular things that have annoyed you, that have been like, if you have people chanting your name, like, buzz it.
No one chants my name. When it's the end of the night. So what you got to remember is, and you know this as well, is that you deal with drunk people, like people that are literally just off the face at the end of the night. Mm. So the end of the night is probably the worst, when people are saying, one more, play one more, and I'm the person to blame all the time, because not the venue, because the venue have got a license to a certain time and you've got to stop and whatever, but they're like, oh, play one more, and they call you all the names.
What's going on, Joe?
Yeah.
That's all we booked you for.
Don't play Cotton Eye Joe again. Yeah. That's funny. But that's probably the worst beat.
Well, I think we've had a discussion before, let's say it. Everyone, especially if it's a nice day in the summer and stuff, everyone's outside, and then about 10, 11 o'clock, people start coming in and they're on the dance floor. Then it turns to 12. You've been there for like 3 hours, like banging the tunes out.
Last half an hour. Yeah.
Feel me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's two artists.
Yeah, and people think it's a glamorous job as well, because I say you know this better than anyone, but people think it's glamorous. You're the DJ, and they don't see the setup that goes into it before getting there, and then the pack that like they were packing away at the end of the night, like de-rigging at the end of the night, is just take ages because you're tired, you just want to get out of there. But people don't see that, and they think, oh, you're just DJing, it's all like, yeah, party, but it's not sometimes. And if you do it as often as I do as well, you're repeating the same songs all the time, because you can't get away from big hitters, Cotton Eye Joe, shall we? I'm just going to be known for Cotton Eye Joe after this podcast.
I'm doing this as DJ Mikey B. You might know him playing Lots of Cotton.
Let me just backtrack. That was the first gig I ever did. So no, I'm just saying that now.
We've never already down here, have we?
Nah. On that. Never say never. Never say never. So yeah, like you said, that's one of the worst things. Late nights. I'd say late nights for a DJ. It's silly to say any, but you know, drunk people.
Unsociable hours.
Yeah. Really unsociable hours. And people coming up at the end of the night. And then also you go back to like weddings and stuff, and then two people have an idea on music that they want for their wedding. But those two people, yes, and I don't want to sound bad, but those two people are there. They're paying your fee. But sometimes they don't think about the 100 people that they've got going to their event. So and that doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes at weddings then, like, so they'll say, we only like this music. And I'm like, I think to myself, well, what about the 150 people that are coming to your wedding? And then when I play that music, only those two people
know. Don't invite any of you before it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But I suppose then you've got to use your experience to think, all right, well, let's bring it in a little bit and try.
But the problem is that you'll get asked, if someone says, don't play any UB40, someone will ask you during the night to play UB40.
Yeah.
And then you have to say, I've been told I can't play that. Yeah. And they're like, who told you? And then you get like what do you mean? Like that kind of thing. So you just got to be...
Yes, on like, if you see the dance floor's a bit sparse and stuff, you've got to think, all right, let's try and get people up there and use your experience to try and go to them. If you're playing heavy rock all night, but and like people aren't, it's like 80-year-olds and stuff, like...
Yeah.
You've got to kind of go with the audience.
Versatility, as in like been knowing, part of the way I DJ anyway, is just like reading a crowd. There's no set playlist. It literally just comes out the top of my head. Sounds really cliche, but it just comes out the top of my head. What I see, what I think will work and I hope works, I just play and hope to God it works. Sometimes I'm not always, of course I'm not always right, but sometimes I'm not right and the dance floor will clear and I'm like, oh, change it again, like, and then you'll hit on something else that everyone would dance to. So like you just said, yeah, you just have to be like open to playing stuff that you don't like and be able to change it whenever you need to change it.
So you've talking how it's kind of snowballed, so you've been pretty much all over the place, and you're all over the world, haven't you?
I'll say Europe. I'm not yet like Pitbull, you know, Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah.
No, not that good.
You ever cut to the USA?
No.
The Beatles are time.
No, not going that far. So it did snowball, and then I got put in touch with a party planner, wedding planner, a lady called Susanna, and she's absolutely amazing at her job, to do by JP again, put me in touch with her, and to do a footballer's wedding. And I won't mention names of footballers and stuff, but I did that wedding.
Can't mention the footballer whose wedding either.
I'm not gonna there's a lot.
Just chop it off.
Yeah. There's a lot of them, you see. So I just don't want to step on anyone's toes. Yeah. But I did his wedding, and then it was a case of, oh, you was really good, we'll use you again. And I didn't think anything would come out of
his second wedding.
Yeah. They didn't have a second wedding. It was only one. And then I became her go-to DJ then, and just travelled doing really like high profile, like England internationals, Premier League players, singers, all these like mad people, Italy, Spain, France, like, and ended up in like situations where I was just like, to be honest with you, I don't even know how I got here, but it's an amazing like, it was like the experiences of being in that kind of environment, in that with them kind of people, the setups and like, and working with different bands and sometimes different DJs as well. Amazing. And international artists, like did with singers and like people like that, and like, it's just mind-blowing. I was like, I went to Grimshaw, like, how am I standing in Italy on a Saturday night, like, DJing to all these guys? Mental. Yeah. So yeah, it did snowball. It was like mad. And to find myself, but 1 week, genuinely 1 week, I'll be there, I'll be in Italy or Spain or wherever, DJing a wedding, and I'll be like, oh, it's amazing. And the next week I'll be in a social club.
Yeah,
but that's just part and parcel of the job.
Yeah,
because like, those, they don't come around every week. It's not like like celebrity footballers and everyone's having like parties every single week. Like, they're not. You just gotta earn a living some other way.
That core, right?
Yeah, then keep the core
audience.
That's it. Yeah.
That lead down here, then. How to tell us a story about how it's kind of led to.
Yeah, so you won't mind me mentioning his name, Dale Moon. Don't even know Dale. So Dale, I DJ'd his wedding. Top lad, love him. And he got in contact with me last season. And when I say last season, I don't like to talk about it because it hurts too much, but relegation season, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is
old
a shame.
News, mate, don't worry.
Yeah, it's old news. Yeah. So, but he got in touch with me in that season, championship season, and said, listen, we're going to do a mix. We want to do a mix to play before teams come out, like 10 minutes before kickoff. Would you be interested in doing some along them lines? Here's a list of songs that we think you might work. But the problem with that is that everyone in that put the list of songs together, they just put their favourite songs on. And it wasn't...
What kind of songs we're talking?
Don't say it.
No. It wasn't that. Stuff that... some stuff I've never even heard of myself. Like, and obviously, they're a lot younger than us, you see. So I was a bit like, you're alienating a large proportion of fan in the stadium that wouldn't know any of this music. And I understand we're moving with the times at the club now. I mean, literally everything's moving at 1,000 miles an hour. And sometimes, like myself, you guys, unfortunately, we're not that old, but my dad, like people like that, aren't the target audience anymore. It's like our kids, do you know what I mean? And the younger generation. I get that. But you've also got to just be mindful that
got a nudge your cap out.
Yeah, that some people that have been here for like, you know, 50, 60, 70 years, do you know what I mean? So I said to Dale, look, I'll put a mix together and then you can tell me whether or not you like it or they like it, and then we'll go from there. And then it took probably three or four attempts to get to the mix that we played down here, which was fine. And it was a case of 10 seconds or 15 seconds of each song. So you couldn't stay in a song for longer than like 10, 15 seconds. And that was hard. Like, that was difficult to jump genres as well in and out of songs. So that was a really difficult thing to do. But then you got played down here against Leeds, the first home game of the season, which was
my last of the season, right?
For me, I suppose he was a good... But the problem was then is that then the same mix gets played every single game, like, and at every women's game then. So, like, it never got just played at men's. It was got played at the women's games, which was fine. But that gets boring, doesn't it? Like, and I was always, like, going back to DJing at the... Starting to DJ at the Blues, I always said, because I've been a Blues fan since I was 7, and when I was younger and old enough to get into music, like 14, 15 maybe, I used to say to my dad, oh, I hate the music down here. One day I'll have control over the music, or I'll have a say in what gets played. I'd love to get involved somehow with the music down the Blues. And my dad used to laugh and go, yeah, all right, son, just humour me. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, all right, son. And now, technically, like, I suppose I am in control, like, a little bit, which is great, which is such an amazing achievement. But we got relegated, so let's go back. So we got relegated, and I was like, okay, do we change the mix? That's it. For me, that was all it was. It was
I got relegated, they're like, yeah, sack the DJ on.
Get rid of him. But that's been said a few times, to be honest with you. Yeah, already this season, when he's been good. Yeah. So yeah, well, never mind relegation. So they were like, oh, should we change the mix? So I messaged Blues and said, do you want to change it up? And they came back to me and said, no, but we're going to put a DJ in the stadium. Do you want first refusal? And I'm like, wow, yes, of course I do. What Blues fan would say no? So I was like, yeah, brilliant. And we're going to put a stage, as you probably see behind me, in the corner of the Tilton main stand. And you'll DJ from there every home game. We'll just need you for 40 minutes. 45 minutes maybe before game. Great. But then what turned into a 45 minute set was, it just opened my eyes to another side of like DJing, because not only am I, it's my hometown, it's my team. It's just 28,000 people in here every game. All right, not every game, but most games now this season. So we're talking, I'm playing in front of 28,000 people. Basically, if you add them all up throughout the season, how many people I played in front of, I probably played in front of more people than, I don't know, Shahira.
Established, yeah. EDM DJs don't play in front of 28,000 people every week or every other week.
Yeah, but it's different. It's so different to DJing normal like events, like in a club or in a bar or even in a festival or a wedding or a corporate event. It's totally, totally different. And this is why I said to you earlier that coming on and speaking to you guys was a way for just giving the people to watch this and like an insight into match day.
So take us through for the viewers to understand match day as a lot.
So let me start off with bigging up everyone that's involved in the match day experience at Blues, right, at the moment. The match day experience team at Blues that I work with are amazing. And also, I'd like to say, we spoke about him earlier, and I hope he watches it, because Richie G, the Blues announcer, right, is probably the best announcer in the country.
Ooh,
exactly, yeah. His job, just the way he just, and I know I'm going away from DJ and I'm talking about Rich, but the way Rich presents, people don't realise how easy he makes that look and how easy he makes it sound. Like, it's not that easy. Like, to speak in front of that many people and the clarity of the way he speaks. If you go to away games, we all go to away games and you listen to different people. Well, we don't really listen, I suppose, but like you hear people on the PA, you think, I haven't got a clue what he's just said. I've got no idea. But Rich is really precise, and you can hear everything that he says, and you can definitely hear that when he say, you know, and the way he sarcastically says the substitutes, which everyone loves.
Yeah.
Love it, you know what I mean? So big up to Rich. Rich has been amazing since I've been at the club as well. So, yeah, he's been great. But the process is, you get down early on the match day, do a quick sound check, and then we'll have a meeting just to go through a script, basically, to say where we're going to start, where there's videos inside, where the adverts are going to be, interviews with mascots and stuff like that, and then where my parts are in the process as well. And then I have an earpiece, which most people don't realise that I've got an earpiece in. And like I said earlier on, it's like being on this morning. Like, they're talking in my ear constantly. It's just saying, oh, you've got 4 minutes, or you've got 3 minutes, and we're going to go to a video now, or we're going to go to Rich. And so sometimes if a song gets cut early, or my set gets cut early, that's a decision that's kind of taken out of my hands, and I just
have programming.
Yeah, because something might have changed during during that moment, or they might need to, you know, tweak something here and there.
Got Ian Clarkson down here. Let's get him on the pitch quickly and have a quick
interview. Yeah. So that's kind of, and then it turned into, play a few songs before kickoff, but then became, let's give you control over playing walkout music and Keith Ryan, and you'll play back. And I'm like, oh God. I just hope that when I press play, it works.
Yeah. So I have that feeling of being that guy as well.
Yeah.
Did you have something? Was there an issue with one of the songs or something with the walkout music?
Oh, we're going to go into this, are we?
No, well, I'd only seen Vino kind of having you back on Twitter, because I think you were getting a bit of sticky
powers with
you. Throughout the season, throughout the season, I'm like we alluded to earlier, I'm very approachable. Anyone can come up to me and say, listen, I've got an idea, let's play this, or why don't you play that, or whatever. And I'm open to whatever you want to suggest. It's not like, I'm trained only to play certain genres of music or certain songs or whatever. Look, I'm open to suggestions, I really am. And I don't do any social media. Not for any particular reason. I just don't do any social media. But probably a good thing after a few of the comments that I got sent by friends and stuff. But that, what you were saying, was before one of the night games, I think it might have been Cambridge at home, we had a discussion. Not a professional, but sit-down at a table discussion. We had a discussion outside the fan park about music at half-time. About walkout music at halftime, and I suggested maybe just do something a little bit different. Absolutely fine. Like, the Tampere gets played when the teams walk out. Let's just play something a little bit more motivational, whatever. And I said, I've got a remix, a mashup, right? It's going to get loads of comments now about this. I've got a remix and a mashup of Eminem versus ELO. Right, everyone was like, give it a try, you know, what was the worst that can happen? I mean, looking back, it was a good decision, but a bad one as well, because you've always got to push the boundaries, you know what I mean? You've always got to be like, this is who I am. Like, change is good sometimes, and just because you're set in your ways doesn't mean it has to stay that way for 30, 40, 50 years or whatever. Let's just change it up and see, you know, and just let's just see. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't a malicious thing or I wanted to, wreck a classic, as people said, with the ELO thing. I've got utmost respect for ELO. They're absolutely...
Oh, we'll all,
yeah,
think.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What a band.
Well, that is the feedback that you've wrecked it.
From some people, and others loved it. So we had people that I knew texted me and said it was spectacular, it was amazing, play it again, make sure we do it again. A lot of younger people were like, unbelievable. So it was like Lose Yourself, the vocal, and then the instrumental of just Mr. Blue Sky. But the older generation
didn't appreciate it.
And then some people thought it was an accident, and some people thought, like, yeah, as in like, Yeah, some people thought I just pressed the wrong button.
Accidentally put two songs
on. Together and it worked. Look, I was that good. I'm not that good, mate. So I, and nothing was said about it. It wasn't a case of like, oh, like you've messed up or anything like that. No one ever said, oh, it was a mistake or you messed up or like, don't do that again. It was just a case of, oh, you like ruffled a few feathers. And then it was a case of like, people were just right. Oh yeah, he did this. He played that tune, and I don't agree with his selection of music on a match day. And then everyone puts their, you know.
Was your bot? Is all publicity good publicity?
Yeah, but it did bother me. Yeah, because I'm a because they're my own. I'm a Blues fan, and I didn't want to disappoint anyone. And I still don't want to disappoint anyone. Literally, we're all in it together. Let's ride this wave. This season, last season just gone, has been unbelievable. The change at the club has been unbelievable. Let's just ride it together. And if you're giving powers to one of your own, what hope have we got?
It's the internet for you.
Yeah, that is the internet. But on the flip side of that, and I don't want to focus on a negative, because that was the only negative, basically, the only negative. And I've never played it again.
No.
Maybe I should play Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe into ER. Cotton Eye with ELO.
Over Key Rock. Oh,
that's... Yeah. I don't think I'll play it again, but I have been asked to do it again by various people to say, just do it, you know.
Well, you say that, but we got a massive artist down here like JK, and he got, and I like JK, and JK's for the younger generation. He got, how many pelters did he get down here? And he's the same, and it's the club trying to be progressive and just trying to include the thing that were saying all the old people will never come to Blues again, or it's just internet, isn't it?
It is strange, isn't it? You think if it was a rival's club's piling in on something like your...
If you play Hi Ho Silver Lining over ELO...
Oh,
I'd imagine
yeah.
There'd be a whole...
Yeah. And also, you've got to remember, and people, again, you said it's the internet. It is the internet. But you've also got to remember that we're not here for the music.
Yeah.
We're all here for the football, to support the club, to support the team on the pitch. And that's what we're here for. And if I can offer some kind of, entertainment before the game with, a few good tunes, to get the crowd up for it, that's what I'm here for. But the music isn't the... Though isn't the main thing we're here for.
Side, people are noticing that you are doing something, albeit the construct of the negative, but I bet you don't get a lot of people messaging you going, oh my God, you play some bangers before the game, because people like to be negative on the internet that night.
You've mixed for the last game. I had about four or five different people sending me going, have you seen this? Have you listened to this show?
Yes. Yes. I listen to that.
Anything,
you
noticed? I don't know. I haven't got an individual count of how many people about 4,500, something like that. I mean, the original one that got played, the original 10-minute mix, has got about 10,500. Do you know what I mean? So it would just go through, just cycle through or whatever. But that was only on the back of backtrack a little bit. No, we'll fast forward a little bit to the end of the season. So so the negative was that one point. And then I got a couple of negative comments here and there on the internet that people would send me that I couldn't see myself, but people just send me anyway. But I just said to them, don't send them.
I was going to say, that's lovely. That. Yeah, on social media, you're not interested. So you get a WhatsApp off friends and family. Yeah, look at that guy. He's had a laugh. There's a laughing face.
Yeah, they're all like, So I'm like, just don't send them, because... if I'm honest, and Kev, you just said it. I'm not that. I am bothered, but I've got to grow a thicker skin because it's new to me.
Yeah, it's unexpected though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just think, and the comments I've had this season, of the comments have been sent again.
Knock it off, Dad.
Yeah, from away fans, right? They've noticed that the music here is better than any ground they've ever been to, they've ever visited. And they've commented on that. Charlton fans, there was a Rotherham fan that was, I don't know if you saw the video, got sent a million times of the Rotherham fan dancing. Did you not see it?
No.
Yeah. So Rotherham fan dancing before a game to music. Burton, they joke here at the club that I'm more famous in Burton than I'm I am here now, because Burton fans were like literally loving the pre-match music and stuff like that. So away fans do...
Your bookings in Burton have...
gone through the roof, mate. Yeah. So they've noticed, which is nice. It's nice, isn't it? And sometimes, and don't get me wrong, I don't see the comments all the time from home fans, but I know that 90% of people couldn't, like, well, probably 85% of people couldn't care about the music, if I'm honest. Do you know what I mean? But a lot of them do like what we do down here on a match day now. Like, not just me, fan park out of the...
Well, the fireworks and stuff get a slang in the night. All they used to, like, do you know what I mean? It's like...
But we're doing something, aren't we? Yeah. We're like, and when we're not doing something, everyone has to remember where the club was 2-3 years ago when it was a terrible... It wasn't an enjoyable place to come down. Like, you guys were probably the same. I'd get to my seat 5-3. It was a 3 o'clock kickoff. And I wouldn't entertain coming down here to meet my mates for a drink or something to eat or whatever, entertainment or whatever. I wouldn't even give it a second thought. I'd just be in my seat.
I would bring your corporate clients down here during them dark days and just apologising the whole...
That's loads. Something that's so much business.
I'm really sorry. But one, I'm kicking off now, you'll see.
Yeah. And that's what it was like. So people got to remember where we was and where we are now. And the match day experience of the Blues has been elevated to a place where none of us would have thought it would be. You go back to we've got Fan Park here, which is amazing, and obviously the Fan Park on the Cop Car Park, and then you've also got like stuff on a match day, fireworks, JK, we had UB40 last season, which were unbelievable.
It's a hobnob with all them.
Did you? No, I wasn't involved in. No, unfortunately.
Did you have to hobnob with JK?
Nah, I saw him. He passed me. Yeah, that was it. But then also the light show before the Bradford game, that light show, really cool and stuff like that. So we're doing stuff. And I've been
here. See how good it looks on the Wrexham documentary as well.
Yeah.
You watch that? That looks incredible,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Brilliant. And like,
and obviously the documentary's coming up for there as well.
Yeah, and the documentary's going to be from here. And it's just
you're going to the face of it. And yeah. Comparing the Wrexham one with like the DJ there, have you had any like
Newcastle game?
Yeah.
They said to me pitch side on the Newcastle game, are you Mikey B? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, we're on our list of film today. And at that point, no one had mentioned the documentary. I didn't know anything about documentary. And I just said, oh, are you from the BBC? Like, just to the guy. And the guy had this massive camera over his shoulder, right? And a lot, you know, one of them ones that you walk around with. And I said, you from the BBC? And he said, no, I'm from the club. I thought, your camera's too big to be from the club.
We haven't got eight cameras here.
Yeah, I've not seen that camera all season, but I'll go with it. And then at the Newcastle game then, he literally filmed me for ages. So I kind of maybe, like, I might get a snippet of me in the documentary, like, or something like that, which we... I
mean, you're hoping to be as famous as the Ukrainian coffee shop owners in the Rexy documentary? That's the question.
I don't want to be famous at all. Do you know what's funny about it? Like, I know you're going to get onto it now in a minute, and you're going to ask me a question about it. But after DJing here and then doing Wembley, after Wembley, I was in Sainsbury's, and a lady with a kid just said, oh, excuse me, are you Marky B, the Blues DJ? And I went, yeah, I am. And I was like, I loved you. Oh, the music was amazing. Sorry.
What have you done, Saturday? Hello, track.
Yeah. Dropping your shopping, everyone.
And I was like, yeah. And then I said, I just went home to the wife and I said, oh, someone recognised me in Sainsbury's, and she just asked me to empty the dishwasher.
That's you need to be brought back down.
You
need to stand grounded and you think superstars.
So yeah, I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be like the coffee shop owners in the Wrexham documentary. I'm not like, just get on with it, like, do my job.
Tell us about Wembley then.
What's that sound system like to work on?
Chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was muted before. I always joked with the team here that, oh, if we get to Wembley, I just kept on banging on, if we get to Wembley, please let me play Wembley. Imagine me DJing in Wembley. Oh, it'd be amazing there, yeah. And then, like, I owe so much to the team at the Blues for just giving me the opportunity to play, like, to even say, like, yeah, we've pulled a few strings. Because the problem was is that...
they got a resident DJ, though.
They've got a resident DJ at Wembley, yeah. But the problem was is that the EFL didn't want to be... like the EFL had to be fair to both teams. And Peter Brad didn't have an in-stadium DJ. So we do. And so that's where the guy from Wembley was used as kind of there. Like,
he came in after to do
cameras. Yeah, to be the kind of he'd there. Look, we got two DJs, it's fine. So I got the opportunity just to DJ there. And the day, and as we know, everything leading up to the day and the day, but before the game, was unbelievable.
Oh, 90 minutes, a bit warm.
Yeah, except for the football bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, as we all know, and we won't go into too much detail, but being the favourite in a game isn't always the best, is it? Not for Blues, anyway.
It's not our right.
Well, Barry froze up at the end of the game, why'd he say?
Yeah. And that, every class. And that's what, but on a personal level for me, the experience of just to say to people, I've DJed at Wembley Stadium, we only had 8.5 minutes, bro, to fill. Each team gets an allotted time to do what you want to do. And we decided as a team that we would try and fit, because what happens is that if you've got that short of a time, you just play one club song and you do team read and then a video. But we decided we'd do 4 club songs, team read and a video as well. Let's fit all in. Let's fit as much as we can into that time. So it was like, oh, we'll have 20 seconds of that song and then we'll have 10 seconds or 14 seconds of that song. And but the biggest, which no one would really know as a fan, the biggest thing was in that 8.5 minutes, we had to include Keep Right On. And if we didn't hit our timings, Wembley would have just played a generic song, no diss to Ed Sheeran or anything, or Taylor Swift or whatever, but something over Keep Right On, then that would have been...
That could have been the remix you've been waiting for.
Yeah. That would have been an absolute catastrophe, because then people would say, whose fault was that?
Or, who did that? Service Snapchat.
Yeah. So we was really conscious about fitting in Keep Right On, especially when I cut it off and everyone sings into that for that wow moment, basically. So that was a bit of a nervous, please. And obviously, it's not just the guys from the Blues that are there. You've got Wembley production in front of you, counting down with their fingers in front of the camera. I've got a camera in front of my face, literally, and it's just staring at me. I look up at a big screen and I think, oh, look at the size of my head.
Feel yourself going broad, right?
Yeah, I think Kais is back. And
which was on the screen, remember?
Yeah.
What time?
Continuously. About? Half two?
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you presume there? But then you were massive. Anyway.
Yeah,
I was. Yeah. And all the lads, because the lads beforehand said to me, look, at the Blues, yeah, you're quite reserved. Don't get me wrong, you're getting the crowd going or whatever. And I'm not a dancer, am I? I'm not doing that.
That's how you best off it.
Yeah. And so I just thought to myself, just let yourself go at Wembley. And at Wembley, I'm just literally just G-ing up the crowd. And I just look back and I think, what are you doing?
Let yourself go. It's a whack a whack.
Yeah, whack a whack. I'm going all in, mate. I'm thinking to myself, But in that moment, I thought, I'm never going to get, probably not going to get this moment again. Maybe not. You never know. Even we might make playoffs one year or whatever, or make a final. But I just thought, make the most of it.
Sure, I'm going to sit here.
Yeah, just Paul Tate all the way. It was an amazing experience going pitch side at Wembley. In front of 70,000 people in the stadium, been on the big screen, and just saying that you've DJed, no matter if I played one song or 20 songs, I've DJed at Wembley for my club. There's not many people many DJs that can say they've done that, which was just, and going into the fan park, it wasn't just in the stadium. I went out to the fan park as well for 45 minutes and, literally, I played in the fan park, and that was amazing as well. It was just armor card. Everyone's so up for it, and everyone was so deflated after the game.
These things happen. That's right, boys.
Yeah.
So, what advice would you give to someone wanting to be the next Mikey B, wanting to follow your line of business?
Yeah, don't start with Cotton Eye Joe.
But if that got you to where you are today.
Yeah, on the shoulder of giants and all that.
Yeah, just say to you, just be yourself. Like, literally, just also be really versatile. Like, and we, going back to what we said at the beginning, like, also be really versatile. Be like, you know, be approachable. Yeah, just be open to, it's not, it's, again, I go back to the blues thing, but like, you got to remember, you can't please everyone. Do you know what I mean? And like, literally, just like, everyone's got different taste in music. Like, so you can't please everyone. So yeah, just be yourself and just do what you think. I mean, just, I'd say do what you think's best, but going back to, you know, playing the ELO remix or whatever, that probably wasn't the best decision I made.
Well, great art evokes discussion though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it might be, it comes out the archive many years after your time is gone and someone goes, why? Look at that.
So way ahead of his time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that would happen.
Great art polarises, doesn't it? Like I say, you can't please everyone.
No, you can't. And
but if you don't have a go, you'll never know, will you?
Exactly, yeah, and that's it. Like, you know, over the years, like doing the stuff that I've done for different celebrities and different footballers and DJing here at the Blues and stuff like that, I've not done anything different. Like from when I started DJing for my nan and granddad in when I was 16 years old, I've just been myself. I know that sounds cliche, doesn't it? But it's just I just do what I do and hopefully it works. And over the years, just found that this kind of it's like a thing where I fell into, like, that works. So like, I find that it's not that I find it easy. People say I make it look easy because it's just a natural thing for me to do. Do you know what I mean? It's not forced. It's just like, and I know we're going back again to the Blues, but people said throughout the season, like, I've had comments like, no thought goes into the music than the Blues.
Lovely.
Yeah. It's the same music every match day. And I understand what they're saying, but number one, you can't get away from the big hitters. So we're always trying to keep it upbeat, like, you know,
Waka Waka one squad, isn't it?
Yeah, Stansfield. So, and I'll always try and play songs for play. Like, I listen to what we're singing, play songs for players. So, Waka Waka, Rocking All Over the World, Awata and Paik Sung Ho, Give It Up, Case in the Sunshine Band, Push It, which is Willem Willemsen's song, Hey Jude, I'll always play, and then obviously Forever True, and then in my sets prior to like kickoff, then I'll always try and include somewhere Birmingham bands.
Yeah.
So song
Streets and stuff.
The Streets, JK, UB40, yeah. Musical Youth, might throw in a bit of Bitty McLean. Do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. And then like ELO, like not obviously Mr. Blue Sky, but you know, any of the others. So any Birmingham Ocean Colour Scene, like, but then you've also got to be careful not to play songs from other clubs or songs that people associate the artist for the band being fans of another club.
Sabbath.
Yeah, because people will say, oh, they're Villa fans, or like, do you know what I mean? And
you never accidentally hit a Rotherham song when you got the Rotherham fan jigging.
Nah, I think he was dating to, maybe he was dating to, it was another remix, I think it was Sean Paul. I think he was dating to Sean Paul, and he's not from Birmingham.
No.
But
never went to Grimshaw.
No, never went to Grimshaw either. But yeah, that's it. And but so what I do now is of a match day to please everyone is just to I'll play a section of music right at the beginning early of like the Jam, Madness, the Smiths and whatever. And that keeps kind of the older fan happy. And then as it gets closer to kick off, ramp up.
Whose decision was it to change the Keep Right On to a slow version right at the beginning? Was that a club decision? Because that's only recent, isn't it?
It was never discussed.
Right.
It was just not to my knowledge anyway. Maybe it was discussed and I wasn't in that discussion.
Nice.
But that is probably one of the best things we do, I think. If I'm honest, that track now is old and probably needs remastering. as in we need to find a way of cleaning the track up because it's all crackly. The track's crackly.
Yeah,
the track's crackly because it's so old. And
I think that adds to it. I
think so.
The vintage feeling.
Yeah. It is very vintage, but again, my thing down the blues was always, and one of my pet hates before I DJed here was when we're singing, or the fans start to sing, no one would turn the music down, and that would wind me up.
Because you're trying to keep an anxiety, just
and like, good. Mate, just turn the music. As soon as the songs start, like for me, as soon as the songs like start to be sung on the Tilton or on the Cop or wherever anyone's singing, drop music, mate. Just drop music. You'll notice then if during the tamper as the teams come out, when we go blues, 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 I'll drop the music and let them sing. Or if there's a moment where I think, like, as the teams come out, they start singing. But Mansfield, everyone like always goes back to Mansfield game because of the scarves and whatever, and the atmosphere was incredible. But that Mansfield game, as the teams come out, I couldn't hear anything for a start off because it was so loud in my earpiece. But they were like, go, 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 be Tampere. But the crowd started singing Champione really loud, and I was like, this at the moment. This is the moment where you let the crowd, let it breathe.
Just take the earpiece out.
Just stood there, yeah, like, this is amazing. Yeah, unbelievable. But everyone goes back to that pre-match and post-match Mansfield because of the atmosphere. The club, again, need credit for the scarves because I don't think they just like...
Yeah.
It's better than the clappers, isn't it?
Oh, don't get the clappers out. God, no. But the scarves... don't get them out either. The scarves are unreal and the scenes here were just like mad. And the music selection was just a case of just like, just keep everyone going, literally. And we haven't spoke about it, but I will now. He's Glad All Over, the Crystal Palace song that I decided just to stick in because Villa got beat in the
semi-final. I've seen some socials on that.
I was loving it. Basically, after that, and I got sent so many good comments about like what I add to the match day experience now. He's great. Glad All Over was the best thing a DJ could ever have done. Like, after that, I reckon I could get a statue outside here now. Because now, because I've wound up, like, the other side of the city. It was just, I knew on that Saturday night when they lost, because, I got so much stick for losing in the final to Peterborough. Like, loads of stick, right? Because it was our big day out, and we lost at Wembley, and it was that kind of thing. And then when it happened and they got absolutely smashed by Palace, I text everyone that give me like loads of stick and never got one reply. And I thought, you're quite really
football,
quiet now.
Football comes at you fast,
doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I sort of sent the same photos and messages back to the people who sent them. I sent them their messages back.
Yeah.
Because it was completely interchangeable.
Same messages. Yeah. And then I decided, someone messaged me and said, are you going to play God All Over tomorrow? And I thought, you know what, I am. Like, and then when I was down here on that Sunday, people coming up to the DJ stage and going, mate, glad all over. About 10 people.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's coming on before. And they were like, when are you going to play it? And I thought, when it's got the biggest impact, when it's the busiest it is. And some other guys from other podcasts that I've spoken to, not on podcast, but in person, and in their podcast, they said, big shout out to Mikey B for playing Glad All Over. It's the best thing you ever did. So it's gone full circle. So now I'm fully getting recognition now from my home fans to say, what a legend. I'm like, absolutely brilliant. For one song.
Brilliant.
Just for that one wind up, basically. Yeah. Mad, absolutely mad season, mate. Unbelievable. Like, I can't put it into words enough to say, like, what a privilege it is to DJ in front of my own fans and every other week or sometimes twice a week and to say to everyone that I love the blues as much as everyone else does and I'm not always going to get it right and I'm just there just to ride the wave and hopefully DJ when we're back in the Premier League. That's where
imagine that first Blues Villa game.
Yeah, so what you play? Yeah, what you play?
Glad you're over.
Glad you're over. Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, that'd be unreal. Or even going new stadium. Imagine like when we move to a new stadium, like I'm involved in that kind of like process of like where's the DJ going to be? Where like what the sound system in there is going to be unreal? Because again, not to go on too much about it, but it's turned into not just being a DJ, as in they which is really nice and great. They also value my input as a supporter and be like, what do you think? Like, because the problem is that as blues fans, there's not many songs that you can associate with the club. Mm. Like artist wise, really. Like you just said earlier, The Streets,
UB40,
ELO, whatever. And then really after that, like how many other songs do you really know that you associate with Birmingham City? Not many. And the ones that are like people talk about, like there's a song by I don't know if you've heard it, but Harvey Andrews called Good Old Brummagem or Home and Away. You ever heard that? Them songs, or We Are the Lads from the Tilton, like them songs are really dated songs. So if you start, so it's not really kind of songs that you want to play. And the songs that Tom Ross and Ian Dancer did together are great songs. Like they did We're On Our Way.
And a whole mix type.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. They did like a whole mix of like different songs.
Really, right?
That's it. Yeah. And they were great songs, but that was like what 20 years ago, probably 25 years ago. So we're talking like a long time ago. And no one's ever. I always say like no one's ever done a modern version of Keep Right On, like a one that we could use, like an acoustic version of Keep Right On that we could use down here. Because some people do say, I know you love it, Chris, but that version of Keep Right On is dated. Some people say, oh, it's too old. No one knows the verse, the first verse. But I do think...
But when it goes off then, from that.
From that, yeah. When it builds up.
Yeah.
And that last bit when everyone just... And the team are in a huddle in the middle.
Yeah. Good size, nice timing.
Yeah, the timings go back. And then people don't realise that. Like, literally, like I said, Keep Right On has to be played just as the team decide to get in a huddle. So when the last bit comes, they're getting out the huddle. Because once they start the
game... Even if the team's been announced, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant because you can go over that, can't you?
Yeah, but my theory on it is, which is wrong, right or wrong, is that once the team kick off, they're zoned into the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, has your backside ever gone, you know, when it's overlaid into the game? And then we went through a spell of conceding quite early, didn't we? For a few games.
Yeah.
So they kick off, they're coming this way, we're still singing. Like, what happens if they score before they finish
that? Yeah, and I just
your fault.
Yeah, my fault again.
That defender, that short pass, Mikey B.
Yeah, that's what I think. But I said to him, it's got to be over when they come out of the huddle because then they're listening. Like, they're listening, and it gives me goosebumps just like when it comes on anyway. So, like, if they can hear it when they're just waiting for kickoff, then that's the moment it has to be played.
That was going
to
jack.
Yeah, imagine like being on there, like that. Amazing, unbelievable.
Thanks for your time, mate.
Anytime.
Keep right on.
Anytime. Keep right on. Loved it.
Good luck for next season.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, I'll be back. 100%. Yeah,
look forward to hearing your DJ voice on the wedding scene. We haven't touched upon the money, but for
people. Yeah, keep that on the down low, literally. Yeah. I don't try not to talk too much.
You should be straight on here. We can't be doing that voice, I know. It's pretty straight, pretty built.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, yeah.
No, thanks, mate.
Nah, anytime. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Cheers, mate. Cheers, lads.